Not far from where I live, there is a beach, and next to it are tall trees, one of which is very special because that's where a marvelous creature loves to sit and look out over the ocean. Sometimes we see this creature as it glides in to perch on the highest branch, so high that most who pass by never see it. Sometimes we hear its call, as if to say, "See what I can do, and you can't." Sometimes it just seems like a call of joy, as this creature is able to be in a place and see things beyond the reach of mere humans. This far-sighted, high-flying creature is, of course, the eagle. And sometimes, as it sits there on the uppermost perch, its white head catches the glint of the sun, and it is dazzling. Welcome to episode 2 of Navigating the Energies of Life, a podcast that looks at how the energies of the Maya calendar are at work in the world and how they apply to daily lives. My name is Marguerite Paquin, and as mentioned in episode 1, I have been working with the Maya calendar for some 30 years and providing an online horoscope relating to this calendar. This podcast is an accompaniment to that horoscope blog for the purpose of extending the information a little further and providing an audio option for those who may prefer to listen rather than read. The emphasis is in connections between the energies of the Maya calendar and events going on in the world, and ways in which these energies relate to personal lives. In episode 1, I gave a brief overview of the cycle of 260 days that we're working with here, representing interconnections between 20 unique days in combination with 13 unique numerical powers, to create a count of days called a Zulcan. Each of the 260 days in the cycle is unique, and every person carries the energetic imprint of the forces that were in play at the time of their birth. Those energies greatly influence how people see and interact in the world. So why did I just mention the eagle and its perch? Because we are at the beginning of a trisena, or 13-day period, that begins with the energies of eagle, an energy that washes through all 13 days of this time frame. Every day carries many layers of influence, but this is one of the most important. There is a saying about the eagle that has a number of variations, but its essence is that when a storm is coming, all other birds seek shelter. The eagle alone avoids the storm by flying above the clouds into the light. When one watches an eagle flying high, sometimes so high that it's just a small dancing speck in the sky, sometimes there's a kind of sense of longing to be that free, to soar uninhibited high above the ground. Not like in a plane when you're still restricted, but on your own, flying free. In the horoscope blog, I mentioned last summer's 50th anniversary of the landing of the little spacecraft named Eagle on the lunar surface in 1969, and how Neil Armstrong's "The Eagle Has Landed" comment has come to be used as an indicator for a successful completion of an objective. "The Eagle Has Landed" still carries a sense of heroic accomplishment and reminds us that there was a sense of unity on the planet at that time. That historic lunar mission carried out by those three astronauts was widely heralded as an enormous achievement by humankind, with emphasis on the people of the Earth, not just one country. Along with the landing were the images that were captured of Earth as a wondrous blue planet suspended out there in space that helped people to gain a whole new perspective and a whole new sense of appreciation for our Earth. summed up in many ways by the astronauts who commented on the beauty and fragility of this planet, emphasizing the idea of Earth as an oasis. Those images, and others that were to follow from other missions and, of course, the International Space Station, have done a great deal to trigger environmental protection initiatives. At the present time, we're also very much aware of the fragility of the Earth as a whole and are rapidly coming to realize how even the smallest thing, in this case, the coronavirus, can affect everyone and everything, everywhere, if we're not careful and vigilant. During the last Trisena, which was associated with wind, breath, and spirit, the emphasis was on just that, the need for social distancing to lessen the chances of infection through breath, the need to wear face masks, the need to find new ways to communicate with so many people under lockdown, the need to make huge adjustments to the ways in which we travel and interact on almost every level. There is a sense now that not only do these measures need to remain in place for a while, but that we now need to muster the strength and courage and vision, the vision of the eagle, to come up with new ideas for how to move forward, both while the COVID-19 battle continues, but well beyond, as nothing is ever going to really be the same after this. For one thing, we don't know how long this is going to last. There are close to 2.5 million cases in the world, and just going into the third day of this Trisena as I speak, there are over 760,000 cases in the U.S. Those numbers are climbing rapidly. I also mention Earth's population in the blog, which reached the magic number of 7,777,777,777. That's 10 sevens in a row on 7 Lemat, which was April 11th, at the midpoint of the last Trisena. That's a doubling of the world's population in just 50 years. And now, in just a week, there are almost 1 million more people on this planet. A very, very sobering thought. Earth Day and Earth Day Week are coming up during this current Eagle Trisena, with its emphasis on needs associated with protecting the environment. And given what's going on right now, we can already see a great conundrum in one area. We've just gotten to the point where there was a major push to restrict the use of plastic bags because of the harm they're doing to the environment. But now we see that personal bags are no longer allowed in many places. So suddenly the use of plastic bags has skyrocketed. That's really problematic. One good thing, of course, is that there is much less pollution due to the use of fuel for vehicles and factory pollution. But overall, as we move forward, environmental protection will be a huge focus because the needs are so great. In episode 1, I talked about the fact that every Trisena is overseen by a patron energy. This time, the principal patron is a deity known to the Aztecs as Xochiquetzal, flower, feather, a goddess aligned with artistry, creativity, household arts, and fertility. Tied in with the eagle theme, there is a warrior aspect to this, along the lines of being warriors for a cause, including, traditionally, women who died in childbirth who were esteemed for their bravery. But I think we can extend that to anyone who is contributing to the well-being of others in any way, whether it be in homes, or hospitals, or food markets, or food production, or delivery services, or finding ways to help the homeless or people in dire financial straits, or even staying home and making signs to put in their windows, or making protective masks, or singing from their balconies, or providing cheers at 7 p.m. as gestures of encouragement. Anyone donning their armor and plucking up the courage of an eagle to do their bit will be receiving support from this deity at this time. In some of the ancient codices that show images of this Trisena, another deity called Texcatlipoca can sometimes be seen accompanying Xochiquetzal. Texcatlipoca was strongly connected with fire, strength, supremacy, and transformation. So with it, this energy also serving as a second overseer of this time frame, this gives a kind of double layer of influence involving those eagle-like qualities, particularly as they tie in with creativity and caregiving. The 19th century British poet laureate Alfred Lord Tennyson, who was born on the fourth day of this Eagle Trisena, wrote a famous short poem called The Eagle. Some of you may remember it from high school. It goes as follows. He clasped the crag with crooked hands, close to the sun in lonely lands, ringed with the azure world he stands. The wrinkled sea beneath him crawls, he watches from his mountain walls, and like a thunderbolt he falls. It makes me think of the eagle on his high perch that I mentioned, surveying the ocean, the wrinkled sea, and then suddenly lifting off or swooping down to accomplish whatever mission he's currently on. So this eagle, Trisena, tends to be a kind of heads-up, call-to-action kind of time frame, associated with valor and a push towards supremacy, or at least towards some important goal. Traditionally, it has been oriented around power, military strength, and transformative action. The Aztec even had a military order of eagle warriors dedicated to the sun and to its nourishment. And even today, it seems that many people born under the influence of this energy find themselves being called upon to become warriors for a cause, or even spiritual warriors. 500 years after those Aztec eagle warriors faced Spanish conquistadors who were invading their world, the world as a whole is facing an enemy called COVID-19, and we are being called to do battle against it. But whether you were born during this time period or not, this time frame can function as a major call to action for many. This is often triggered by some kind of extreme condition that requires people to pluck up the fortitude to get involved, like what's going on right now. Sometimes this involves standing up for principles, defending ideological positions such as humanitarian causes, pushing back against injustices, or even dealing with life and death issues, such as those caused by severe weather events or situations affecting large numbers of people, as in the global situation right now. I mentioned in the blog that historically, the very first day of this Trisena has often been marked by significant events that tie in with these ideas, as when the Mexican War of Independence kicked off under this influence in 1810. The one man, or one eagle, force that brought the beginning and ending of a number of major battles, such as Bull Run at the start of the U.S. Civil War, and the end of the two-day Battle of Shiloh in 1862. It was under this influence that the U.S. declared war on Iraq in 2003 and began their invasion of that country. The launch of airstrikes against ISIS groups in that country also took place under this influence, precisely 16 cycles later, during the summer of 2014. In 2011, the Occupy Wall Street movement against social and economic inequality spread to hundreds of cities in 82 countries during this Tresina. 5 cycles ago, in 2016, the crumbling city of Aleppo in Syria suffered through significant bombardment throughout this Tresina, with close to 2 million beleaguered residents under severe siege without access to clean water or assistance. At the same time, things were falling apart on the election front in the U.S. It was late September into early October when this Tresina was in place at that time. The political battling in the U.S. was intense as things were shifting rapidly just before the election. Shortly after the beginning of this Tresina in 2016, Hurricane Matthew began forming, which had everyone on edge. And in Syria, at that same time, hospitals in eastern Aleppo that served 250,000 people were suddenly under attack. Almost 100 children were killed and over 200 injured. By that time, hundreds of people had already been killed and hundreds more injured. But by that time, the group called Physicians for Human Rights had counted nearly 400 attacks on hospitals in that region since the start of the war. But that week was seen as the worst airstrike campaign since the Civil War began. In the midst of all that, the rescue of a one-month-old baby from a bombed building in eastern Aleppo, after it had been wounded and trapped for 2 hours, brought a ray of hope. It was one tiny life saved in the midst of some of the worst carnage since that war began, and there were many, many brave humanitarian warriors doing everything they could to rescue people and save lives. As this current Tresina began, under the influence of One Eagle's initiating energy on Saturday, we saw over 100 members of the entertainment community step up and provide a call to arms through a 6-hour live stream of the One World Together at Home benefit concert, organized by the World Health Organization and Global Citizen, and curated by Lady Gaga, who was herself born on two men. In this celebration of frontline health workers around the world, there was a wide variety of calls to action interspersed between songs from home, streaming in from various parts of the world. Heroes who were on the front lines of the battlefields were also highlighted. Performers had to be creative in terms of how they presented their music, but it was fun to see Charlie Watts play air drums while the other three members of the Rolling Stones were spliced in as they played their own parts. A whole different take on doing a world tour. This was also World Heritage Day, and as we think about the world as a whole at this time, it's also a good time to think about some of the amazing things that human beings have created on this planet. Things that have been built to inspire and build community and to advance culture and heritage on so many levels. Structures such as Notre Dame de Paris that was almost destroyed by fire just over a year ago. Places such as sacred sites that may have been bombed out by wars, but are still remembered. And even such things as languages, especially those that are on the verge of disappearing. Last year, a wonderful exhibition called The Great Jaguar Rises was in place for several months at the Royal BC Museum in Victoria, BC. It included many fantastic objects, such as hieroglyphic panels, stelae that showed kings and queens in elaborate ceremonial dress, fabulous pots and censers, altars, jewelry, exquisite figurines, sculpture, fabulous treasures on loan from La Ruta Maya in Guatemala and from their National Museum of Archaeology and Ethnology. Emphasis was placed on the many languages still spoken by the Maya today, in addition to the ancient hieroglyphic languages from the past. The Maya calendar and its sacred count of days, the one we're talking about here, was represented there as well, as it was such a central part of that ancient world, and is still kept today by daykeepers in many parts of today's Maya realm. Those who know this calendar and work with it see it as one of the world's greatest achievements, as it encapsulates the natural cycles of time so very accurately. While it's always amazing to see the kinds of objects that were on display in that exhibit in person, to really get a sense of the craftsmanship that went into their creation, World Heritage Day provides a good reminder of the importance of preserving such cultural treasures, and we're fortunate to have the technology that can enable people to gain awareness of such things even if they can't visit in person. The ICOMOS website, relating to the International Council on Monuments and Sites at icomos.org, that's ICOMOS.org, provides an overview of its theme of shared cultures, shared heritage, and shared responsibility, highlighting ways to visit heritage sites remotely. They ask the question, why shared cultures, shared heritage, shared responsibility? And then point out that this theme recognizes that heritage, whether places, landscapes, practices, or collections, is of great value to diverse groups and communities for many different reasons. At this time, ICOMOS is inviting people to explore the idea of sharing with regard to culture and heritage, and to think about our collective responsibility in this regard, particularly in terms of caring for and safeguarding things of significance. They note that the idea of sharing culture and heritage is intentionally provocative, as in cases where aspects of culture have been forced upon populations and often resisted rather than being collectively adopted. Things like religious beliefs have a lot to do with this. In other instances, there may be closely guarded aspects of culture that people may not want to share, as in many indigenous cultures wanting to keep ancient or sacred knowledge secret. Personally, I struggled with this for a time when I was first exploring Maya calendrics. Since I'm not Maya, I wondered if people from outside the culture should be attempting to learn about something so central to a specific group, a group that had its own still practicing daykeepers. But the more I learned, the more I realized that the field is very broad and has many cultural variations that range from local village daykeeping to the more formal systems such as the long count that were used by the elite to track long periods of time during the classic era. Knowledge of the calendar, which was once ubiquitous throughout the region, was almost completely lost after conquest. In fact, some parts of it, like the long count that I'm particularly interested in, were lost until dedicated researchers gradually pieced it together. Thousands of Maya books were burned when the Spanish came in, and there was a great deal of confusion about the meanings of the days and the symbolism, and even many debates about the correlation between this ancient system and the Gregorian calendar as people were trying to pull this together. In the Yucatan, which was hit hard by conquest, things were particularly problematic with regard to the correlation for a long time, because the system had been broken and then put back together to match the Gregorian calendar, and so was out of sync with the actual energies. In the midst of all this, many non-Maya researchers were making valuable contributions to this field through their explorations of ancient sites and their dedicated work relating to the decipherment of symbols and histories and hieroglyphic languages. Through the work of explorers and archaeologists and epigraphers, knowledge was being restored, and the Maya themselves were learning much about their own heritage. And really, this applies to the preservation of culture and heritage in many places on this planet. It's people working together, sharing discoveries that helps to both preserve and advance knowledge. So, getting back to ICOMOS for a moment, they note that many heritage sites have been damaged in the past based on what they symbolize, and in some cases, debates are still going on with regard to conservation. So, at this time, ICOMOS is inviting people to explore the whole idea of sharing with regard to culture, heritage, and responsibility. It invites reviews of traditional thinking and seeks diverse perspectives and insights that encourage discussion and dialogue. Planeta, that's planeta.com, also has some interesting articles related to cultural heritage. So, these are the kind of things happening on the very first day of this Tresina. The One World Concert and World Heritage Day, both giving a kind of wide-ranging vision from their own perspectives, which is exactly what eagles do. I should mention also that over the past few years, more and more information has come out about discoveries relating to the ancient Maya. 2 years ago, there was a major breakthrough in Maya archaeology when laser technology was used to survey by air an area that covered over 800 square miles in northern Pitan in Guatemala. Through an aerial mapping technique called LIDAR, which stands for Light Technology and Ranging, which can survey an area from the air, this technology was able to almost magically peer through the dense forest canopies to see what lay below. During this process, thousands of previously undetected structures were revealed. An estimated 60,000 structures, including at least four major Maya ceremonial centers with temples, pyramids, and plazas, as well as defense works, irrigation canals, and houses that suggested that as many as 10 million people could have lived within those Maya lowlands. The scans taken through the use of LIDAR are now able to help archaeologists to create high-resolution maps to assist in further exploration. A far cry from stumbling through mud and hacking through thick jungle, as many early explorers had to do, in hopes of finding something. Okay, moving along, let's go to today, which is 3 Caban, April 20th. This is the day when this episode will be posted, or possibly tomorrow morning, somewhere in there. This is an activating energy related to movement or earth movement, basically right on schedule and perfectly positioned to mark the start of Earth Day Week, which will involve the broadcasting of live talks and daily shows associated with climate action for 6 consecutive days. Well, not by me, but by others. This is often an interesting energy that brings up issues related to the Earth and Earth movement. Last summer, when this was in place, it brought an announcement that legal action is being taken against Australia over the quote-unquote unmerciful destruction of Indigenous lands and dreaming sites. This time, this day coincides with the start of a new Maya month. April 21st brings in 4 Etznab. This is a defining kind of energy aligned with the sun, and also linked in with Etznab, the day sun's sparkling knife-edged dazzle, an energy that can bring sudden change. This is Queen Elizabeth's 94th Gregorian birthday, and she has asked that there be no gun salutes this time, in keeping with the dire state of things regarding COVID-19. She doesn't want any special birthday celebration at this time. April 22nd brings us 5 Kawak. This is the number five related to this is a kind of blessing or precision kind of energy connected with Kawak. Kawak relates to storm, but it's also compassion. So it's kind of like the blessing of stormy compassion. Basically, it's an energy that can stir emotions and trigger important events, coinciding at this time with the new moon and the 50th anniversary of Earth Day, with the theme this year again being on climate action. And since the world is currently under lockdown and taking part in social distancing to tackle the global pandemic, EarthDay.org is hosting the world's largest digital civic event through a wide variety of actions and events to address climate change issues. April 23rd coincides with Sixahau, which is a six directions sort of everywhere type of energy associated with the full sun and the power of enlightenment at the beginning of Ramadan as of the evening. This is a time for prayer, for fasting from dawn to sunset, for self-examination and charity giving, and for attending to traditional Muslim spiritual practices, which continue for 30 days. Many are feeling that this year, with services suspended in places of worship due to the coronavirus, Ramadan will be a time when concerted attention will be given to helping those in need to get through the pandemic. This very sun-oriented energy was the Maya birth energy of Alexander Courage, the orchestrator and composer who's written and arranged the music for a number of well-known movies and television series, including Superman 4, Lost in Space, and the highly recognizable theme music for the Star Trek series. Sixahau was also the Maya birth energy of Bernard Liot, the French astronomer who became quite successful at measuring the polarization of sunlight reflected from moons and planets. He also invented the coronagraph to study the sun's corona and its prominences without having to wait for a solar eclipse. In 1939, using this coronagraph and the coronagraphic filters that he also developed, he shot the first motion picture of solar prominences. For someone born under the influence of Sixahau's full sun going in all directions, this is almost a textbook example of the application of that energy as far as a career is concerned. I should also mention Nine Akbal, which comes in on April 26th. This is an outwardly projecting, quite influential, quite consequential type of force, often aligned with deep earth mysteries and even darkness. Five cycles ago, this was in place when that powerful Hurricane Matthew struck Haiti and Cuba full force, killing over 1,000 people and leaving a long trail of destruction as it headed towards Jamaica and the Bahamas. States of emergency were declared in Florida and other parts of the South, and over 2 million people were forced to evacuate. Last summer, when this energy was in place again, more than 1 million people were forced to evacuate as Typhoon Lakima hit China overnight, again leaving a vast trail of destruction. We don't know what's going to happen this time, but this is a heads up, as this can be a powerful force. On April 28th, we have 11 Chikchan, which is basically a kind of inspirational force, number 11, connected with life force, aligned with liberation and higher consciousness. This is a burner day, known as a kind of special marker point within the 260-day cycle, and it often signals some kind of change in direction. At this time, Venus shines brightly at its greatest illumination of the year. Near the end of the Trisena on April 29th, the day known as 12 Kimi comes in. This is a kind of grouping together or pulling together kind of force to do with absolute foundations. Almost 13 years ago, in July of 2007, the Live Earth Call to Action concert was held under this influence. It was seen as an SOS concert for a climate in crisis, and was the largest global music event ever held, 26 hours. There were some 10,000 events in 30 countries, 8 major concerts on 7 continents, and 150 performers. In the launch of a 3 to 5 year campaign to stop global warming, with the proceeds to go to the Alliance for Climate Protection. At that time, Madonna thanked Al Gore for starting an avalanche of awareness that we are running out of time. Fast forward to October 2016, 5 cycles ago, and we come to the day that was seen as one of the most insane and consequential news days in the history of the U.S., just before the 2016 election. Here are some of the things that happened. First, there was a declaration of a state of emergency in Florida as Hurricane Matthew rampaged up the eastern Florida coast. Flash flood warnings were issued for Georgia, the Carolinas, and Virginia. 4,500 flights were canceled. Then, at 3 p.m., in an unprecedented statement, the White House warned that Russia was trying to actively interfere with the 2016 U.S. election. An hour later, the Washington Post published its blockbuster article about Trump's revolting 2005 hot mic conversation with Billy Bush, the Access Hollywood's grabbing tape. The New Yorker reported that this was the day when Trump's campaign blew up, as they put it, in a manner never witnessed before, deteriorating from critical to terminal. According to the New Yorker at that time, quote, as a competitive contest, the election almost certainly ended, unquote, as of this day. But then, half an hour later, WikiLeaks released a cache of stolen Clinton campaign emails. Amazingly, the impact of the release of that cache had more impact than the warning about Russia, and thus the stage was set for the forthcoming election from hell. While all this was going on, this was the last day of the 4-day nuclear war drill in Russia involving 40 million civilians, tens of thousands of emergency workers and troops, and more than 50,000 vehicles. One wonders what that was all about. Amazingly, this had also been the energy that was in place in 1960, when John F. Kennedy was nominated by the Democratic Party as their candidate, and then again in 2009, at the time of the death of his brother, Senator Ted Kennedy. Okay, much more could be said about all that, but moving on. The last day of this Trisena on April 30th, which is Maya Day 13 Manique, tends to be a strong transformational force, often quite intense. A lot of protest demonstrations and huge rallies have taken place under this influence. Currently, this is the 45th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, the event that marked the conclusion of the Vietnam War. So I think you can see some of the battleground kinds of events that have taken place during this period. Those are some of the main energies we're working with right now for another 10 days, and my blog fills in some of the gaps. Again, I'm providing this information as a general service to provide a touch point for people to follow as we journey through this difficult period and beyond. It becomes clear once you start following the system that very often world events and occurrences within personal lives dovetail quite profoundly, with the nature or essence of those Dasein forces, with often echoes of past events showing up whenever the same energies return in new cycles. Within the context of my horoscope blog and also through this podcast, I'll often make mention of ways in which particular energies influence events or play a role in some prominent lives. As you could see with the six how example that I just mentioned. But the specifics of how these energies are working in someone's life on deeper levels can only be addressed by working with individuals directly. Every person is working with their own particular set of energies that tie in with events and other people in their own individual lives. Looking at those can only really be done on a one-to-one basis. For any given day, there are actually layers and layers of energies working together. So even though we have this ongoing 260-day cycle of basic energies, the overall signature of a day, when it gets right down to any particular person or even any specific pinpoint in time, would involve looking carefully at those other layers. This is where the uniqueness of individuals comes in. For those listening to this from somewhere other than my website, you can find my My Account of Days horoscope either by going to whitepuppress.ca and clicking on horoscope blog, or going to mayacalendararts.com and clicking on horoscope blog. That site includes other information on Maya Calendrix, some posts that I've written on topics such as birth dates and energy cycling, some things that I offer such as coaching and artworks. I found that even after working with this for 30 years, I never cease to be amazed at the Zulcan's accuracy, not only in lining up with events in the world, but also in terms of how these energies play out in people's lives. I've found that this system can help people to get to know themselves better, can help them to understand what's happening in terms of relationships. It can give insights into personal skills and natural abilities, insights that can be used to make career adjustments or other important decisions. It's fascinating to see how it works, whether one is conscious of it or not. One of the things that I found particularly useful is to use the count of days for what I call life path mapping, looking at personal energy cycles associated with the Zulcan, so that you become aware of patterns and things like opportune times to do things. Both short-term and long-term cycles factor into this, and getting to know how they work within your life can be quite insightful. For anyone who might like some assistance from me in terms of exploring how these energies may work within your own lives, there are a number of options, some of which are outlined on that Maya Calendar Arts site. I haven't included all possibilities there because there are many ways to customize things according to people's interests. Feel free, if you wish, to ask if you have any questions about this. There is contact information in the websites. Lastly, if you haven't already done so, feel free to subscribe to the horoscope blog accessible through my websites if you'd like to receive automatic updates every 13 days. You can access this sign-up form from either site. There's also another sign-up form there if you wish to receive other related information, particularly related to the podcasts and other general postings. I want to finish off with something that I found yesterday from a book on Celtic wisdom by John O'Donohue. It's a poem called Blessing. On the day when the weight deadens on your shoulders and you stumble, may the clay dance to balance you. And when your eyes freeze behind the gray window and the ghost of loss gets into you, may a flock of colors, indigo, red, green, and azure blue, come to awaken in you a meadow of delight. When the canvas frays in the current of thought and a stain of ocean blackens beneath you, may there come across the waters a path of yellow sunlight to bring you safely home. May the nourishment of the earth be yours. May the clarity of light be yours. May the fluency of the ocean be yours. May the protection of the ancestors be yours. And so may a slow wind work these words of love around you, an invisible cloak to mind your life. The Dracaena that comes in next is called Lamet, the last one in the 260-day cycle. That will be posted in my blog on May 1st, and the podcast will be out shortly thereafter. Until then, please be safe. Love to you all. Bye for now.